I want to talk to you about sow what you want to reap. Sow what you want to reap. Turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. We're going to read verses 7 through 9. And the word of God reads, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever, say whatever, a man or a woman sows, he or she will reap. That is a law that nobody can change, even prayer." And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption or death. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season," say in due season, this is not instant, "we shall reap if we do what? Do not lose heart." Every person is a sower in this life. Say, I am a sower. Every single one of us who will reap the harvest of her or his own planting. The world, including Christians, is full of disappointed reapers who thought that they could sow one thing and reap another. But today I want us to look for a few minutes at God's principle of sowing and reaping, which is a very important law, a spiritual law that operates in the kingdom of God. It is very important that we understand this law as Christians. Because let me say this to you. You can pray, you can fast till your face turns blue. That your prayer will not change the harvest that you're sowing. I didn't hear no many amens on that one. What I'm saying is, if you're sowing potatoes, you can pray like an angel. You can rebuke the devil. And you can quote scriptures that you're going to reap a potato. So this is a very important principle in the kingdom of God. Because every day, we are writing our own destiny. I'm not hearing too many amens on that one. Because there is a principle that operates in the spirit that nobody, even IRS, can change. And it's this: we become what we do and we get what we plan. Now let's look at the implications of this principle first. Sowing and reaping. Let's look at the meaning of this principle. Meaning number one is this. Think about what I'm going to say. What we have today is due to what we sowed yesterday. What we have today is due to what we sowed yesterday. Now, I know that we all have a past. You have a past and I have a past. And many of us come from very painful and difficult pasts. But really, when you study the principles of the Bible, we can no longer blame our past. We can no longer blame our parents. We can no longer blame society. We can no longer even blame the devil. Such things can influence us, but they cannot control us unless we allow them to control us. Today, God, through his word, is showing us how to be farmers that can sow good seed and reap a good harvest, but it's up to us to sow the good seed or not. What kind of seeds are you sowing in your life? Because truly, our present reveals much about the choices and the decisions that we made in the past. And when you look at the concept of seed in the Bible, it's nothing more than a seed. It's a choice. When I sow a seed in the work of the kingdom and I give my tithes and my offerings, I am making a choice. I am making a choice to believe God that if I do what he says, he's going to provide for my need and he's going to prosper me. So when I sow financially in church, I am making a choice to obey God's word. So seed and choice are the same thing. Now, what we get tomorrow will be due to what we sow today. The harvest that we get tomorrow will be due to the seed that we sow today. If we don't like where we are today, if we don't like who we are today, the good news is that with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can change that in the name of Jesus. However, the change comes slowly. It does not come overnight. And we live in a microwave society where everybody wants things done instantly for them. One of the reasons that people eat so poorly in this nation, and lately I'm into eating. I'm sorry about that. Healthy eating. But one of the reasons that people eat so poorly in this nation, and by eating so poorly, they are breaking down their health, is because to eat healthy, you gotta cook. And to cook a good meal, it takes time. Putting a piece of carton in a microwave is not a good meal, and it's poison and it's garbage that you are putting into your body. Stopping by a drive-thru in McDonald's or Burger King, it only takes you 5 minutes, but that is not healthy eating. So what I'm saying is this. Change does not come overnight. People want everything to happen to them fast. They are not willing to wait. They are not willing to be patient. And they are not willing to invest in anything meaningful in this life. But the principle does not work in farming. When the farmer sows, he don't reap a harvest overnight. If you sow a banana seed tonight, you're not going to get a banana tree tomorrow, and you're not going to get a banana tomorrow. It might be months before you get the tree, and it might be a year or two before you get the banana. It takes time, and the farmer must know how to wait. In the meantime, he must continue to care and nurture the soil so that that seed won't die. But we must begin sowing today wisely, people of God, if we want a good harvest tomorrow. Prayer alone will not do it. Many times we use prayer as an excuse for laziness. Yes, we need to pray. Yes, we need to seek God. Prayer must be the foundation, like Pastor Jose was preaching this morning. It ought to be the foundation of every Christian. It ought to be the lifestyle of every Christian. But I'm here to tell you that faith without works is dead. So we can pray for a good harvest tomorrow, and we need to do so. But in addition to that, we got to make sure that we are planting now the seed that will produce that harvest. Okay? Choose to sow a good seed, and you will reap a good harvest. Now, I want you to write in a piece of paper this. What is it that you would like to reap 5 years from now? What is it that you would like to reap 5 years from now? So we need to do two things. Yes, you pray for it, number one. I'm not undermining or eliminating the power and the necessity of prayer. But second, what kind of seed are you sowing today to reap that harvest? Felician, would you like to be financially prosperous in 5 years? Would you like to be debt free in 5 years? Are you giving into the kingdom of God now? Because if you're not giving into the kingdom of God, you cannot expect to reap that harvest 5 years from now. You want to have love in your life, and when you grow old, you don't want to be alone, and you want to have companionship. Then are you sowing your life? Are you sowing your time? Are you sowing your love in people's heart today? Choose to sow a good seed, and you will reap a good harvest. If you want mercy, give mercy. But if you're sowing condemnation in people's life, you're going to reap that condemnation back to you. All of us can be vulnerable to sin. I didn't hear no amen on that. You can love God. You can be in church a million years. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit and know the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. That is there anybody here tonight that can tell me I will never, ever fall? The Bible tells us to be careful with that. Because God has a funny way of proving us wrong. When we begin to rely on self, God has a funny way of showing us that out of me, there is nothing good. And that without Jesus, I can do absolutely nothing. So when you fall, or if you make a mistake, will you like others to give you mercy or condemnation? Because if you're sowing criticism and condemnation in somebody's life, sure enough, you're going to reap that harvest one day. How many of us want to grow old alone? Raise your hand. Nobody. So we want to reap a harvest one day of friends, of community, of family, the people that will love us, people that will care for us, people that will visit us at the hospital when we get sick. Well, my question is, are you sowing the seed that will give you that harvest? Because if you are the kind of person that comes to church and we haven't even said amen and you're already out the door and you don't say hello to anyone, you don't talk to anyone, you don't spend no time with anyone, that means that you're going to sow loneliness because you're sowing loneliness and you're going to reap loneliness. Are we seeing the principle? Now let's look at the application of this principle. We are given two options. How many? Two. And it's this. Either we sow to the flesh. Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, or death is another word. Death. Now how does one sow to the flesh? The Bible clearly tells us how we do that. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. We sow to the flesh by doing the works of the flesh. Very simple. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. When we practice adultery, we're going to reap death. Period. Fornication. When we practice fornication, everybody knows what fornication is. Any kind of sexual activity outside of church, outside of, out of marriage. Any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage does not only include intercourse. We're in adults here right now. Oh no, I see a child, I'm sorry. So I can't go any further. But is any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage in the eyes of God is fornication, is sin. Uncleanness, lowness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So when we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption, including we can lose our salvation. Death. So sowing to the flesh is like investing in that which is physical and temporary. Sowing to the flesh is all about self. Just ask yourself this question tonight. Is everything that you do in your life about self? Or are you doing things that bless other people? Are you loving unconditionally? Are you willing to give up even your own rights for the rights of others? Because whenever we are sowing to self and we're living for self, it means that we are sowing seeds of flesh. And we're going to get a harvest of corruption, death. Sowing to the flesh is like buying truckloads of potatoes, putting them in a bank, hoping to get rich from them 10 years from now. So that's option one. We can sow to the flesh, or he says, the option two is you can sow to the spirit. Galatians 6 verse 8 says, but he who sows to the spirit will of the spirit reap everlasting life. And this entails walking in the spirit. Sowing in the Spirit is about allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us in life through His conviction. When we do something wrong, the Holy Spirit will be right there to let us know that we did it wrong. He will let us know. Because sometimes we can be blinded to our own weaknesses. Sometimes we can be stubborn, we can be prideful, and we can be blinded to our own weaknesses. But one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, thank God for that, is that when we make a mistake, when we sin against God, He will let us know. And that is called conviction. So He lead us through His conviction. He lead us through prayer. He lead us through the Word. And most importantly, He lead us through the leadership of godly leaders. Ministers and pastors and leaders in the kingdom of God. Now, those who sow to the Spirit, there is an awesome promise there. And it's that those who sow to the Spirit reap everlasting life. That is talking about salvation, yes, but it's also talking about the fact that when we sow to the Spirit, when we live a lifestyle, when we are sowing to the Spirit rather than sowing to the flesh, we are going to reap life and blessing and prosperity in every area of our lives. When you face situations, you are going to be tempted to give in to the flesh and have His way. Tomorrow morning when you go to the office and your boss looks at you the wrong way, I'm telling you, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be saved for 40 years, and you can know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. That I'm telling you that when you need to face people and situations in life that are difficult, you are going to be tempted to have the flesh have His way. But at those moments, we need to think about this promise. We need to think about the consequences of our actions. Because if you sow to your spirit or to your flesh, you will reap death in that situation. If tomorrow morning your boss looks at you the wrong way and you give him a piece of your mind, you're going to sow death. You're going to get fired. You're going to kill your employment. Are we getting this? But if tomorrow morning your boss looks the wrong way and you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, the Holy Spirit is going to tell us this. I know that you want to give them a peace of mind. I know that you want to give up and you want to tell them from A to Z, don't do it. Sow to the Spirit, meaning love Him unconditionally, meaning be submitted to Him or her, meaning do the best that you can in that job. And when you do that, I guarantee you that I will do justice in this situation. When we sow to the Spirit, we cannot change that. We are going to reap life in every area of our lives. We cannot do both. So which way would it be, folks? We should sow to the Spirit. And how do we do this? Quickly. By doing good to all, especially the brethren. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10 says it this way. Therefore, as we have opportunity, and God will give us the opportunity, let us do good to all. Highlight this verse next. Because sometimes we treat the people at home the worst. We don't have no business going out to evangelize the world when we cannot love each other with the love of Christ. We have no business in going out to the world and telling others about Christ when we ourselves cannot forgive our own faults. So the Bible says, if you're going to do good, that's great. But you must start at home. It says, especially to those who are of the household of faith. This tells me this. My dealings with my fellow Christians are very, very important to God. And I can go out there and get a million people saved. That if I am not dealing with my own brethren with love, with gentleness, with goodness, with patience and forgiveness, God will not honor what I do out there. So it starts at home and it starts among us. First, let's learn to love one another unconditionally before we can even love the world. Let's learn to forgive each other in church before we learn to forgive others outside of church. Let's learn to be generous with those in need in church before we give to missions. Oh, I can't believe she said that. That's what the Bible says right there. That's what the Bible says right there exactly. Oh, we are so generous in giving to missions, and we need to do that. I'm not putting that down. That's not the point. But what I'm saying is there is a priority that the Bible is giving us there. And it's this. Before you give to get people saved in China, what are you doing with the people in church that are starving? What are you doing with that brother or that sister that told you this morning that they lost their job and they don't know how to put food in their table for their kids tomorrow? Are we helping them or not? Because if we are not willing to be generous and giving with those that are in the house of God, we have no business, church, going outside. And that's exactly what the Bible is teaching us here. There is a correlation between how we treat people and the harvest that we reap. The good that we do to others will come back to us. Now, not necessarily from the same person that you did good to. Are we seeing this? You might sow love. You might sow time. You might sow loyalty. You might sow care in somebody, and they might end up betraying you. But that ought to not get us to stop from sowing. Because the law does not say the type of soil that we sow. It says you sow and you're going to reap it. So the good that we do to others, pack a lunch, is going to come back to you. It might not come back necessarily from the same people that you did the good to. But God will make sure that that harvest comes to you in whatever way he chooses it. In Luke chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says to love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping nothing in return. And he says, I'm going to take care of you. Your reward will be great. When you sow the seed of forgiveness, Jesus will reward you for that. When you sow the seed of doing good to others, regardless of whether they pay you back or not, Jesus will reward you for that. And if you lend to people expecting nothing in return, Jesus will reward you for that. One exception to that, we don't lend to lazy people. I was teaching this in Sunday school this morning. There's a principle in the kingdom of God that says that if you don't work, you don't eat. So let's do good and let's lend and let's bless those that are doing their part. See, before we read a conclusion about a scripture or theology, we have to study the whole counsel of God in that subject so that we don't fall into false teachings. Yes, we do good. Yes, we bless. Yes, we invest in the life of others, but we must make sure that they are doing their part. I don't lend no money to lazy people. Period. Because there is a law that says if they don't work, they don't eat. In other words, God is not committed to provide the needs of someone that does not earn the seed. It's as simple as that. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, he gives us another principle. And I'm going to teach you this tonight, but please don't hear me asking you for anything. Okay? But it also says to sow to the Spirit by sharing with those who teach the Word of God. Again, disclaimer, I'm not asking you for anything. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 says it this way. Let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. With him who teaches. So here the Bible is giving us another way of investing or sowing in the Spirit. And it is by doing good with those that teach us the Word of God. That's why, in my opinion, a Christian should not be sending their money to a Christian program or to a radio station, because the responsibility before God, the priority is first you give in the house that is feeding you, that is there for you, that when you go to the hospital, it's there for you to pray for you, that when you have a tough time and you need counseling, they are there for you to give you counseling and to help you. So that is a priority that the Bible has established. That we have no business giving out seed to someone outside that is not really overseeing the spiritual vitality of our lives. So it says, share in all good things with him who teaches. How do we do good? Very simple. We do good, first of all, by obeying the word that we are taught. There is no greater satisfaction in a pastor's heart than when we see life transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and the word that we preach. That is the biggest reward that a preacher of the gospel can ever, ever receive. When we see that God is changing lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, because we cannot change a fly. This is all God. All the glory be to Jesus. But it is so encouraging to see that the teaching and the sermons that we are preaching to you week after week, you are allowing that to change you, to grow you, and to set you free from a life of sin and bondage. So that's one way that we do good. By obeying the word that we are taught and growing in the knowledge of Christ. Another way is by giving to those that share the word of God in a tangible way. And I'm just going to touch this. I have to, because it's part of the principle, but I'm not asking you for anything. And I feel uncomfortable, to tell you the truth, teaching this one part. But it's there. Lastly, it says, considering ways in which we can also personally take part in making sure that others are receiving the same teaching and the same revelation that is enriching our lives. One way that we do good to those that teach us the word of God is, for instance, we buy CDs and we give them out to workers, co-workers, and neighbors and family members. Another way is all of our sermons are being published in the church Facebook page. I don't know if you guys were aware of that. The church has a Facebook page. And all of the sermons, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, are being published in Facebook. One of the ways that we can share this word that we is enriching our lives is make sure you share the sermons in your own Facebook page. Another way is give out to the ministry that is feeding your soul. And that really should be your priority. To first give and give generously to the ministry, to the church that is really feeding your soul. And that is one way that we do good to those that are teaching us the word of God. Lastly, let's look at the exhortations of the principle. Number one is, we should not grow impatient as we practice this principle that the word of God is giving us in the book of Galatians. You are going to need perseverance. Galatians chapter 6, 9 verses, it says it this way. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, highlight that, in due season, everything has the right time, we shall reap if we what? Do not lose heart or do not give up. And it is so easy to give up on people. You know, I cannot tell you the amount of people that I hear time after time, including Christians, saying this. I was hurt. I gave my heart to someone in church and they hurt me. Therefore, I don't trust anyone in church. And then they put walls and they put boundaries in the heart and they don't allow anyone to come close. Again, you are giving up in the principle of sowing. If you continue to sow your time, if you continue to sow your heart, if you continue to invest in other people's lives, the word of God is giving us a promise. And that is, in due season, if you don't give up, you are going to reap a harvest. Our labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 exhorts us to remain immovable, doing the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain. Church, nothing that you do for Christ is wasted. Amen. Nothing. Nothing. God will always, always reward the labor of a heart that loves them and works for him and his people. Always. The harvest and the reaping will come at the right time. B, we should not become discouraged. We should not become discouraged. We are not going to reap the harvest immediately. And I want to make sure we get that point tonight so that we don't stop sowing. Crops don't happen unless the ground is first cleared and plowed. And it will not be ready to receive the seed unless we do that. Preparation and time are essential to the growth of the crop. Therefore, what we're saying is this: never, ever, ever give up on people simply because they fail you or they hurt you or they disappoint you. We must continue to do good, and we must continue to invest of ourselves in the life of others. We need to pray for them without ceasing. We need to love people unconditionally. We need to forgive people when they hurt us, when they betray us. And we need to give our time, our presence, our talent and ability to bless others. Our own soil needs preparation. We need to allow God to give us hearts that can receive the good word or the good seed of his word and bear fruit and do good works to others that will bless others. We should not focus on the harvest. Write this principle down. Do not focus on the harvest. Focus on the planting. If you focus on the planting and you never grow weary and tired of planting, you will always have a harvest waiting for you. But if you focus on getting a harvest and you become anxious and you become tired and weary and you give up because you simply focus on the harvest, you will never reap that harvest. So never focus on the harvest, but rather on the planting. You might sow wheat and reap thorns in certain soils. And the Bible even teaches us this in the book of Jeremiah. It speaks about how they planted wheat and they end up reaping thorns. What does this mean in practical terms? You can give your best to somebody. A perfect example of this is our children, sons and daughters. You can give your son and a daughter a Christian education. You can teach them about the word of God. You can teach them how to pray. You can teach them how to honor God. You can even bring them to church from the time that they are children to the time that they become adults. And they might end up being unbelievers or living a lifestyle that is not pleasing to God. Because what am I saying? Sometimes you're going to plant wheat and you're going to reap thorns. But what the Bible is encouraging us to do is, if that ever happens, do not stop planting, because eventually the wheat will come to you. In ancient times, some farmers sow or scatter seeds in a feed the chickens manner. Have we seen that? I don't know if you guys have seen how most farmers feed chicken. I grew up in Puerto Rico in a farm for many years, and my father had chickens in the backyard. And I remember seeing, we never ate them because I couldn't eat our own pets. But my father and my mother, sometimes I would see them, that they would get a bag of corn or whatever, rice sometimes, and they would take a whole bunch and just scatter them. And then the chickens would come and eat whatever was on the ground. So sometimes the farmers would sow and scatter seeds in a feed chicken or feed the chicken kind of matter. In other words, not all of your seed is going to fall in good soil. Write that. Write that down. Some seeds are going to fall on soils that are rocky. That's why sometimes you can give your best to someone, even your own children. I used that example before. And if they don't have good soil in their heart, the seed that you have planted there is not going to give you harvest right away. It might give you thorns instead. At times, we do the planting and the enemy comes and steals the seed. Jesus spoke about this kind of souls in the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8. But the point is this: we got to keep sowing seed, friends, because eventually it will fall on good soil and it will yield a crop 100-fold. So never focus on the harvest. Always focus on the planting. What kind of seeds are we planting today? Because that is the harvest that we are going to reap tomorrow. Amen. Our characters, our lives today might not be what we like them to be, but there is hope. We can change that. We can change the way we are. We can change the way we deal with people and circumstances. We can change our own relationships. But it all starts with the choices that we make. What kind of seeds are you sowing in your marriage? What kind of seeds are you sowing in your family? What kind of seeds are you sowing in your friendships? Are you sowing unconditional love? Are you showing forgiveness? Are you sowing goodness? Are you sowing giving? Because when we sow those seeds, even in our marriages, there is a promise. And that is, we're going to reap that harvest in our marriages and in our families and in our relationships. So either we sow to the spirit and we reap life that starts here right now, or we sow to the flesh and we reap corruption. Life and blessings will come to those who, yes, pray and have a lifestyle of praying and have a lifestyle of faith, but also who are willing to sow to the spirit in every situation, in every circumstance, and in every moment of their lives. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask us all to stand up for a minute. And I want us to take this word and begin to apply it, not just hear it. Everything that you learn in church, we need to apply it, otherwise it will not work. It will not work. This Bible, unless I live it, is good for nothing. I'm serious. If I take this word and I apply it, it will change my life radically. But if I hear this word and do nothing with it, it has no more power than a math book. Honestly, it is what we do with it that makes a difference. And I want us tonight to think about this question that I asked you earlier. What kind of seeds are you sowing in your life today? What kind of seeds are you sowing in your life today? If you have been sowing the wrong kind of seed, today you can come before the Lord and say, Lord, I repent, because at the light of your word, I now realize that I have been sowing to the flesh, and therefore I am going to reap a harvest of death and corruption. But tonight we can make a commitment and say, God, from now on, I choose to sow to the spirit so that I can reap the life that you promised me in my life, in my marriage, in my family, in my relationships, in my business, in my work. If you feel in your heart that conviction that from now on you want to become the kind of sower that begins to sow to the spirit, even when you are tempted, because we are going to be tempted to sow to the flesh. But even when we are tempted, we will receive the conviction of the Holy Spirit and say, no, I refuse to sow to the flesh, but rather I'm going to sow to the spirit from now on. If you want to make that commitment before the Lord, raise your hand right quickly where you are. Right quickly where you are. So that the Lord will see you. And it's not about me. You're raising your hands to Jesus, not to me. And Lord, I know that you see every hand that has been raised right now. And Lord, beginning with me, oh God, I pray that this wisdom that you've given us in the book of Galatians will never, ever, ever leave us. That we will never, ever forget Jesus. The words of the book of Galatians that is giving us a very important principle that has been activated in our lives the moment that we surrender to Christ. And it's this: we are going to reap whatever we sow. Whatever we sow, we are going to reap. So help us to be sowers of life. I pray for our relationship, for our marriages, for our families, that from now on we will begin to sow love. We will begin to sow forgiveness. We will begin to sow mercy and self-control and patience and loyalty and faithfulness and peace in our relationships. Because by doing so, we are going to enable you to heal our marriages. We are going to enable you to heal our family. And we are going to enable you to raise us into the kind of people that you are calling us to be. Help us, Lord, to be a people that can live in a way that we sow to life and we do not sow to flesh, so that we can receive that abundance of life that you have promised us in the name of Jesus. And we all say, amen and amen.